The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
See, we could use this one every day, couldn't we?
Well, we certainly can.
Just
today.
Want to That's celebrate another day of living from rare earth.
Certainly play it today, the Carrie Lake theme song.
That's right. That's right. Now, so I can, before you make an important point, you know, I always have some arcane, stupid thing to throw in. It's okay. Here it comes. The big thing about Rare Earth, 1971, great record, is that they were like the first white band signed by Motown, right? Except they weren't. Before them were the Rustics, the Dalton Boys, and the Underdogs. So what Rare Earth what Rare Earth is the first act signed by white act signed by Motown that actually had a hit.
You always win a Trivial Pursuit, don't you?
I did. That was fun.
I love that.
I loved that game. Does that even exist anymore? When people can have a phone buried under their table and Google anything and.
I know. Technology's probably replaced it. That was a good old fashioned board game that I used to love. I'd play it with Denise and the kids. She hated when we played Monopoly because I won she said I would get greedy. She said, I remember her saying, you're like a real estate magnate. This is ridiculous. You're crushing me. I'm like,
look at you.
That's the point.
You were Trump-like in Monopoly in the 1990s.
Came down the escalator. Listen, how about Florida, baby? How about Ron DeSantis suspending this radical progressive state attorney here in Hillsborough County, where I'm seated right now? You know what this does, Mark? This puts the pressure on governors like Greg Abbott.
You got that right.
Look at what is his name? Jose Garza? You've got progressive prosecutors in places like Texas. This guy in Travis County, he's doing just what this guy in Hillsborough County yesterday had been doing.
Yep.
Promising not to prosecute anybody who violated laws that were enacted by the legislature.
Exactly
here in
Florida. Right. On abortion or on gender obliteration or anything else. There are states passing laws about Florida's doing it. Texas is not. And now Florida's governor comes out and says, this Andrew Warren guy, we're suspending him. If he's going to put his personal beliefs above the laws of the state, we're suspending him. And I could not love it more.
I couldn't love it more because it's winning. I mean, look at the news out of San Francisco. This ousted San Francisco DA, Cheza Boudin, who was fired. He announced he will not run in the special election this year. He's decided to put his family first. Good. Well, go spend time with your family.
Big
and
fan
leave
of that.
the law-abiding citizens of San Francisco alone. So, this is such a great move for DeSantis, and I know this is the never-ending debate about DeSantis's national aspirations. Who knows? They're in Dallas. Man, oh, man, they're just having such a good time over at that CPAC conference.
Did you catch the Hungarian president yesterday?
Oh, boy.
My enemies, they can go to hell. I have come to Texas. And the place goes, I think I turned him into Dracula there. Sorry.
Well, Tom Trotup is there, and he says it's like they're writing my material because Tom is real edgy. He said, Marjorie Taylor Greene, her session is called I'll Take My Committee Back, Please. And then he said, get ready for the rockin' session called The Invasion with both, are you ready for it?
Okay.
Myra Flores.
Yep.
And Carrie Lake.
Yes!
I mean, you talk, that place will explode. They will go out of their
Mike, this is impossible. Myra Flores, Carrie Lake, I thought only Democrats could represent women. I thought that only Democrats had women's interests at the fore. There was this Biden tweet yesterday said that the Supreme Court, what Kansas has shown, and I understand the pro-aborts are all dancing in the streets about the Kansas thing, said that what the Supreme Court didn't recognize is the power of women. I thought, wait a minute, women? aren't there pro-life women in Kansas? Aren't there pro-life women? Are they not actually women? It's like,
they're not. They're less than women. They don't count. Those are just like Clarence Thomas isn't a black man.
Just like that, right? You know,
what's her name? Ketanji Brown was the first black Supreme Court justice.
Clarence Thomas?
That was the Washington Post said that.
Hello.
Right? Doesn't count. Black conservative men don't count. It's incidentally, that's what's the theme, you know, Uncle Tom 2, wow. And the way politics and it juxtaposes with Marxism and black America. It's amazing. It's a fascinating movie. I can't wait to have you see it, and
well,
I know you're going to
get
a big event coming up.
Right? I do indeed, and let's break that news right now for the listenership, because coming up 3 weeks from today, this is a quick turnaround, because it's time for this movie to come out. Over at the Angelica in Dallas, we are doing a screening of Uncle Tom 2.
The Angelica?
Yeah, I know. God, are they going to let us into that building, into that
neighborhood? They're not letting you in.
Oh, yeah, the place is going to be crawling with conservatives, black, white, and everything in between. All of this is going to be at 660amtheanswer.com probably by Monday, but I'm telling everybody about this now. Just be on the lookout for it. I'll be beating you to death about it for 3 solid weeks. It'll be great, because we're going to have Larry Elder in. We're going to have Alan West in. We're going to have Officer Brandon Tatum in. Justin Malone, the director of Uncle Tom's 1 and 2. And after each screening of the movie, we got one for the VIPs and one for everybody else. And I'll do a little Q&A, a little roundtable with those gentlemen on stage at the Angelica Friday the 26th. Details to follow on Monday. So put that date on the calendar.
I might have to make a quick trip into Dallas. That sounds like fun.
Hop into your special pod in first class and the plane of your choice and come on down. That'd be great.
You will be blown away by this movie, Mark. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. It's so riveting. And listen, not everybody's going to buy it, there's going to be pushback, because the movie tips over the sacred cows of the civil rights movement itself. And the damage that they claim in the movie, the civil rights movement did. Martin Luther King. These iconic symbols. And, you know, here's a conversation starter. Think about this for just a moment.
All right.
Larry's movie, Uncle Tom 2, takes us to history. And at the turn of the century, when blacks were prospering in wide measure in America, mm-hmm. where Black Wall Street was an example of prosperity. You know, there's the massacre and there was the Black Wall Street vandalizing and rioting and they burned it down in Tulsa, right? Well, guess what? They built it back, according to the movie. And that's never talked about. They never talk about the recovery from the Tulsa riot. They never talk about the recovery from the damage. And there were two parent households and proud. I mean, this is the narrative. Now, there's going to be a pushback, and I get it. It's a documentary.
No, and it doesn't mean that life was absolutely hunky-dory and rainbows and unicorns for black people 100 years ago.
But it wasn't.
No, sure, of course.
But it was not. I think their argument is, in the movie, if in 2022, according to the Black Lives Matter narrative, things are so awful and historically oppressive and racist for black America now, why wasn't that a theme at the turn of the century?
I know.
And it goes back to history, and they use a lot, and there's a lot of smart people. And anyway, Uncle Tom 2, can't wait for the screening at the Angelica.
And along those lines, there's a quote. I had Pat Buchanan on. Pat is still alive and upright and taking nourishment and still writing and stuff. I need to get him back on the show, because he's just obviously eternally fascinating figure. And we were talking about something maybe 20 years ago. And he said, you know, admittedly, we had so much progress that we had to make in terms of affording people of color basic rights, just basic rights that they had not been allowed. But in the America that I grew up in, this Pat talking, the America of the 50s, if not the 40s, black and white Americans went to the same baseball games, watched the same shows. Worshipped the same God, had experienced the same types of patriotism. And so while we've achieved all these things about equal rights, and properly so, we have balkanized and divided ourselves into enemy camps. And he wonders how well served we've been by that. I think it's
pretty well. It makes me think of the big myth about Israel that was exploded when I went there the first time. Because I have this image of Israelis and Palestinians living in abject terror of one another.
Yep.
There's a lot of Israelis and Palestinians who intermingle, who coexist, and there's a lot more peace over there than you believe. Jobs numbers just came out, so okay. Biden will be doing it. He'll be taking a victory lap, and Corinne Jean-Pierre will be doing handstands. America's hiring boom continued. Employers added 528,000 jobs in July. That outpaces expectations. The unemployment rate, here's the thing that blows my mind. Try calling a customer service number today or walking into a department store and getting somebody to help you.
Yep.
However, the unemployment rate edged lower. It's now at 3.5%.
Yep.
That's lower than the past 4%. Mark, it's the lowest level since the pandemic began.
Yep.
So that's going to be the takeaway. Get ready for the mainstream media. They're going to be salivating. Oh, and
Biden is back.
It's back. He's back. That's but listen, let's be real here. This is what we've got to be focused on getting closer and closer to November. They're pulling out all the big guns to try to hold on to the House and Senate. Axios is calling Dick Cheney's commercial for his daughter Liz an instant classic. The 81-year-old former vice president talking straight into the camera. The funniest tweet I saw last night was, "It's Yellowstone, Part 9, the TV series."
I played it. You've seen it, right? That 60 seconds
of
him. Here's Dick Cheney, who has honorably served this country for a long time, saying that in the 246 years of our history, there's been no greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump, and that his daughter in her congressional career will never do anything more important than keeping him from the White House. Dick Cheney has lost his ever-loving mind.
Well, and that's the tell. That's the giveaway. Here's the point, and this is so important. Liz Cheney functions for one purpose.
That's it.
To tell millions and millions of voters in America, go to hell. We're not going to let him return to the White House.
Yep.
That's her only mission right now in life.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care about her. She's going to lose next week. There's no question.
Grown more convinced of that. I was for months and months. It was like, I'll believe it when I see it. I think I'm starting to see it. So, you know.
Well, she's absolutely going to lose. But here's when Dick Cheney, her proud dad.
Yep.
And you can get into all the family dynamics and all that stuff. And I like him. I've interviewed him. Remember when he came to Irving, to our offices where you work? Were you there around?
I was not, but you and I and Dick Cheney have been in the same room before, though. It was the Oval Office.
That's
right. In 2009, we went in to say hi to Bush and then sit around with some talk show hosts. And Dick Cheney pops in at the end. It was like, pinch me. My day is done. This is fantastic.
Oh, it was. And he was also, he visited Beltline Road, our studios on Beltline Road in Irving, a big motorcade. Drove in, came up to the second floor. I sat down with him for a half hour, and it was quite a moment. So, you know, I have great respect for him. I'm not going to trash him. You can feel free to.
No, it is a sad, sad blemish and a sad coda to a magnificent career. It's just horribly sad. No, I'm not going to let this one horrible moment define his entire life or my high regard for him, but that's what makes it break my heart.
And it's all sad. It's all heartbreaking, Mark. It's heartbreaking that Liz Cheney flushed her career down the drain over this.
Yep.
Listen, let's not forget, Liz Cheney was a rock-solid, reliable conservative representative from Wyoming.
Yes.
So, and this came along, and it broke her. Trump broke her. But Dick, and I'm going to play the spot, too. I'm going to play this so that we can at least acknowledge that was Liz Cheney's only goal is to prevent. And see, this is the thing. And they never make this connection. She's not talking about one man.
No.
Again, she's talking about half the damn country, pardon my language.
And here's here's her father saying that, you know, I know he lost, she knows it, and most Republican, of course we know technically, but I mean that most people, it's the continuing self-absorption, narcissism, and mania of these people that only they are right, and that anybody that believes that the 2020 election was hinky, tainted, something wrong with it, is somehow stupider than they are. It's unbelievably insulting.
It's incredibly insulting, and thanks, Kirsten Sinema. You had all the clout in the world, and you blew it.
Yep.
Joe Manchin blew it. But see, here's the thing. This is what Republicans never learn. Democrats are going to Democrat. They're going to be unified way before they're going to do the right thing.
Of course.
And we just got to accept that.
That's
so guess what? then we got to play ball that way. Then we got to unify.
Give me, to take us out and into the weekend, give me 60 seconds on Brittany Griner. I think she is home by Christmas. I think the harsh sentence is like a part of the long game where the Russians will give her up in order to get Victor Boot, the doctor.
I heard you say that, and I read what's her name over at Town Hall, Katie Pavlich, who said that her conviction or her sentence seems to snatch away any chance of a prisoner swap.
Why?
Well, already, that was the narrative. And I thought, uh-oh, is Mark a little off? Let me tell you why Mark is not off. This is why Mark is almost never off. This morning, of course, a Russian spokesperson said, we're ready to sit down at the table to discuss a prisoner swap. You are absolutely correct. It's totally a precursor to her being returned. We're going to do some kind of deal. And she's going to come home. She's not going to spend 9 years in a Russian prison.
No, she's not going to spend 9 months in a Russian prison.
Maybe not even 9 weeks.
Or additionally, correct. But here's something let's not do. Let's not play this stupid pretend game in our heads that she's going to come back and be appreciative of America. Are you high? Do you have hash oil in your vape, if you believe that? Oh, hell no. She'll thank Biden. She'll maybe thank Tony Blinken. But she will come back, and it won't be minutes before she is describing this country as the racist hellhole that she's always believed it to be. That will not change.
The better angel in me is trying to tell the devil on your shoulder.
Stop it.
That she is going to have a big conversion.
Oh,
and she's
going to
become appreciative of this country. I would think the threat of a decade in a Russian prison change a person.
But once she's safely back, she might say it over there. There will be glancing. I have tons of faith. There will be some glancing peripheral appreciation. It's nice to be back in my country. Blah blah blah. But if somebody says, "Hey, by the way, now that you've been over in Russia, do you think that America basically is a better place? Basically, is praiseworthy that this country is a shining, magnificent beacon of freedom and liberty?" Shoot, no. We are a racist hellhole, and she'll be saying it again within minutes.
God's going to change her. God's going to touch her heart.
You know what? I hope I'm wrong.
The Lord is going to touch her heart.
I hope so.
Have a great weekend. Stay cool. Please be careful. Don't forget the pets. Please.
Right.
Don't let them out there languishing. All right. See you Monday.
Friday, Mike Gallagher Show is right after we're done at 10 right here on 660 AM. The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.